to On the Edge with April Mahoney Brains. Here, this is the place where the conversation is pointed, the guests are sharp, and the responses are never dull. Welcome home, Brains.
Coming to you straight from San Diego, California, let's welcome our host, April Mahoney.
Hello, Brains. How are you today? Look at the phones just lighting up. I always appreciate it when you take the time to plug in live to the podcast. Today is going to be an exciting interview. We have an ageless, timeless beauty, and we're going to have a big girl conversation with Deborah Hardison. She is a nurse studying to be a nurse practitioner. She's an author of an amazing children's book and a life coach. She's the mother of two adult children. And as a registered nurse and author and life coach, she is passionate about nature and protection of all life. She has been a caregiver for many animals over the years, two-legged ones and four-legged ones, and has come to believe that nature is spiritual and can provide a refuge that allows the imagination to roam free. Hello, Deborah Hardison. How are you? Welcome to The Edge.
I'm great. Thank you so much for having me.
Well, I'm just so glad that we'll be able to have this conversation. Two big girls, because, you know, a lot of people don't want to have a real conversation, and me and you just get to vibing and chopping it up like Ginsu knives, right?
Absolutely.
So tell my friends a little bit about you and life down there in Kentucky.
Well, I am a 62-year-old mother, nurse, as you said. I am currently in my last 8 weeks of nurse practitioner school and looking forward to starting a career. As you said,
amazing.
I've done many things.
And you're so doggone pretty, too. So you are 62 years young, and so you've had a lot of life experiences, ups, downs, and all rounds. But right now you are in the middle, like you said, the last 8 weeks of up-leveling your nursing career and becoming a nurse practitioner. Was going back to school a challenge for you? How did that feel after all of those years?
It's very much of a challenge. It was very difficult at first. I graduated from a traditional program in the 1980s. I'm not certain that I even used a computer at that time. So I'm currently in an online nursing program, which has its advantages in that I could work at my own pace, but it also can be somewhat isolating.
Right.
So, and it's a lot of self-taught.
Right.
But for the
last
several months, I've been in clinicals, which I thoroughly enjoy, working with patients and with other primary care providers.
Is there going to be a field of specialty that you're going to work in, or are you going to be like a general practitioner for being a nurse practitioner? Are you going to work on general stuff or something specific?
I absolutely start out, I think, in general and gain some experience, and I usually kind of go where life leads me.
Well, I hope it doesn't lead you to a veterinarian clinic because you love you some animals.
That wouldn't be
too much of a bad thing, though. It wouldn't be too much of a bad thing.
Actually,
you know,
my degree, now that you mentioned it, my degree is in adults and geriatrics, so I enjoy geriatrics a lot.
Yeah, I love a senior citizen that it takes a special kind of care. So in this new environment of a nurse practitioner, tell us a little bit, what's the differentiator between a nurse and a nurse practitioner? It's one step below being an actual quote-unquote doctor. Am I correct?
Yes. Actually, a nurse practitioner is a primary care provider.
Mm.
So I will see patients and diagnose them, and sometimes with the help or have a physician that I could rely on or ask questions if I needed to, but mostly by myself.
Well, this is going to be wonderful, and it's going to be exciting. And I commend you. I pay you honor and respect for having the courage to go back and want to up-level and do something as challenging as taking on the career as a nurse practitioner. But in your downtime, you love to care for animals, and I'm sure that your yard, I can just imagine it, goes on forever with big, tall trees and rabbits and squirrels and birds. And you found a squirrel. You named it Dropsy. You wrote a book about it. Tell us about that.
Actually, I think that was about in maybe around 1995. And one day I discovered a baby, not very old at all, squirrel in my driveway, and who had fallen out of a huge tree, and his nose was bleeding. And I decided to take him in and find out from the vet and through the internet all that I could about how to care for him, and started taking care of him, feeding him puppy milk with a syringe, and ended up keeping him for about 6 months until he grew up and I was able to put him outside in the spring.
Wow.
So
tell me, so you named him Dropsy, and you fell so in love with him that you wrote a book, and the book is amazing. You know, you sent a few copies here for my lucky brains to be able to be the owner of it through our monthly raffle. But you wrote the book, and the illustrations are amazing. Tell us a little bit about your experience with the children and raising Dropsy.
Oh, the children loved him. They were able to play with him. He was quite a character and quite a pet. And all of the children and my children's friends played with him and kept him, and they fed him and cared for him. And it was just an overall great experience in how to care for nature. And then also I think it was important, too, to return him to nature.
Right.
Where he belonged.
Right.
And so he fell in the fall and was hurt in the fall, and then it got really cold, and I was afraid to put him out in the cold. And so we ended up keeping him all winter until the spring, and then ended up putting him back out in the spring.
And, you know, it teaches children so much. It teaches them about love. It teaches them about healing. It teaches them about nature and compassion and how we have to coexist with everything on this planet because we are all interconnected and intertwined. So let's talk a little bit about interconnection and entwining, because there's such a gap between the millennials and, you know, mature women and senior women. There's such a divide there. Do you find that to be true, being a woman of a particular age, going back to school and reinventing yourself?
Oh, absolutely. Absolutely. I think society is geared toward youth, and that I feel like our culture is geared more toward valuing younger people rather than older people. And I feel like that I would like to see a movement more towards valuing all people.
Mm.
Young people have so much to offer, and I'm so excited. I mean, my daughter's a millennial. I'm happy and proud of the millennials and all they have to offer. And they have a lot to offer energetically. But older people have so much to offer in terms of wisdom.
Right.
And that's not something, as Bill Maher says, that you can Google.
Right.
Right. And so I think that in so many other cultures, older people are so much more valued than they are in America.
Right. Right.
And you know, I know personally I've had so many life experiences that helps me so much as I see patients that I didn't have when I was 25.
Mm. Right, right.
That, you know, that helps me so much to care for people.
It does, because you have that compassion. And you are a striking beauty. It looks like you work out. You're a yoga enthusiast. Do you do that for your mind, body, and spirit?
Oh, absolutely. Yoga has been absolutely, I see yoga as it's a spiritual practice for me.
Yes.
Yoga has taught me, not that I didn't before, but how to live in terms of having reverence for all life, for all people, for even in the in the word namaste, it's
right.
The divine in me bows to the divine in you.
Right.
And so it's a much, for me, I see it as a much kinder, gentler approach to life and living. And then also to go within myself and face my fears, to have self-love and compassion, patience, and to listen to my body, and most of all, my intuition.
Oh, yes. Oh, yes. Well, speaking about all of those great things, you consciously uncoupled after a marriage of 27 years. Did you have to find yoga and other ways to regain a sense of self, of who you are? You know, I've been married 35 years, and I've commingled, and I pour so much of everything that I have into my other half, my other spouse. But when you have to extract that, and you still got to find who you are, because sometimes we forget, we get lost in the euphoria of love. What did it take for you to do that?
Well, I have to say that has been a very interesting journey in that, yes, you are correct. When I first divorced, it was very difficult for me because I had spent so much time and energy focused around my titles, for instance, mother and wife. And after my children were grown and after I became divorced, the two titles that had meant the most to me most of my life were no longer pertinent. Now, I was still a mother, but I was a mother to adult children.
And a
who
squirrel.
Who didn't need me like they did. And a squirrel. So yes, I had to look at, first of all, what I want to say about that is I do think that in our country also, the amount of grief that's associated with a divorce of that length, I feel is underestimated. And oftentimes, if we lost a loved one after that much time to death, people would understand that it takes a while for one to adjust to that. But what I hear people say frequently after a divorce is, oh, people get divorced all the time. You know, get over it. And
wow.
And that's really difficult to do just right off the bat. And I certainly think it's something that you can get over and recover from. And I think that it's not necessarily always a bad thing. It's been, it's turned out to be a wonderful thing for me in that I've done and am doing things I probably never would have done if things hadn't turned out exactly the way they did. And it gave
right.
me the opportunity to look at myself and my limiting beliefs, my
right.
fears, and once again, visit, you know, who am I and what do I want?
Well, you know, that's, again, when you got on your big girl panties, you learn to be able to consciously uncouple. Some people don't like that term. I absolutely adore it because you are in the moment.
Mm-hmm.
You are present. You're respecting and honoring that the love that you shared, I mean, you know, 27 years, 35 years, that ain't for chumps. You know, you don't just do
mm-hmm.
that everything just be a mess. And if it is, then you should have been doing some soul searching long time ago. And it depends on how we react and how we show up to certain situations. People's love is going to change, their affection is going to change, their desires, their money, their, you know, their intimacy, all of those things. And they could be going through a crisis, it could be a pipe dream. They may think that the grass is greener on the other side and end up walking in manure. You know what I'm saying? So it's all about how we show up and how we respond to these situations, because life is going to happen whether we give it permission or not. But again, it's how we respond to that and how we hold on to a sense of self and know that it's not about the material things, but it's our children, it's our home, it's our health, it's our spirit. If you truly love someone, be able to find the space to let them go and do what they need to do, like you did for Dropsy. You got to let them go. Because some folks will choose, you know, suicide. Other people will choose murder. And we don't want to do that. We want them to choose love. So with that, tell us a little bit about your life coaching. Because not only are you nursing and caring for animals and writing great children's books, but now you're starting a life coaching practice. Tell us a little bit about that.
Yes, that's another avenue that I've gone into that helps us look at our own self-limiting beliefs. And I just want to say, too, oftentimes we live in a world where there always has to be good guys and bad guys, and there doesn't always have to be good guys and bad guys. And a word that really causes a lot of problems for many people, I feel like, is blame. Because and what blame does is it keeps us stuck. It keeps us from accepting responsibility for ourselves.
Right.
As long as I can sit back and blame everything in my life on someone else, I don't have to be responsible for it. And life coaching helped me take a better look at, once again, my self-limiting beliefs, my fears, my triggers. And it helps me choose how I want to react to a situation rather than unconsciously just react. It teaches me to respond instead of react.
Exactly. And how you do that with style and with grace and some pretty lipstick. So tell us what other things are out there in Kentucky. Now, I had another guest, and they tell me about that Kentucky bourbon. Are you a sipper? Do you have a little cocktail every now and then?
I like a little bit of bourbon. I don't drink it that often, but I do like the taste.
Well, do you have a recipe, or is there a certain way that you like to have your bourbon served? She told me to drink it straight on the rocks. I was like, now, you know I can't do that. I got to have a little Coke or something. Is there any way, or do you make it in a mixed drink, maybe a tea or something?
I think probably I would have it on the rocks or maybe with a little Coke.
Okay. All right. Well, that's good to know. That is good to know. So,
I like to cook with bourbon as well.
Oh, yeah, that's right. You know, I used to be a brand ambassador. It really has a great smoky flavor, and the alcohol actually burns off when you cook with the bourbon, and you guys have the best down there. So we've talked about blame. We've talked about shame. We've talked about love, control. Let's talk about trust. You know, trust is one of those big $25 words. That is very hard for people to grab a hold to. You know, the word can also hold people hostage because they're quick to say, well, if you don't trust me or if you don't regain my trust or you've broken my trust, it's like having them in a cage. They're held hostage. What would you tell one of your clients, your life coaching clients, if they have an issue around the word trust?
I would tell them to trust themselves. I think that at some point, especially after something you perceive as really bad happening to you, you start believing that you can't even trust yourself.
Mm-hmm.
And so I think it starts with yourself.
Mm-hmm.
That. And also allow yourself to make mistakes. There's nothing wrong with making mistakes. That's how we learn.
Right. You're absolutely right. You're absolutely right. What would you tell one of your clients in the nursing arena when they are having, you know, a lot of doubts and they're struggling? Because, you know, health, a lot of it is mind over matter. What would you be offering to them in support outside of a prescription or a visit to your office?
I'm not sure I'm understanding that question.
So if you had one of your medical patients that came in and they're a little apprehensive about taking the drugs or a procedure that they're going to do, what could you provide them as a parallel to your life coaching and your physical work that you do as a physician to help them kind of navigate and get themselves in a better place to feel trusting or comfortable or love? What kind of conversation would you have? Sidebar. Does that make sense?
Well, maybe. I think it has to do with, you know, education. I mean, I have to make sure that they understood. And maybe, you know, speak back to me what their understanding of it is.
Mm-hmm.
Or I could ask what it is that they're still concerned about.
Mm-hmm.
Or that bothers them about it. Or ask them what I could do to that would help them.
Right.
To understand,
right,
or to cope better.
And that's powerful
because
a lot of times, you know, when you go into the doctor, you only have 15 minutes. You know, you got to get in there. You got to figure out what's going on. The doctor's got to diagnose it, write a prescription, or refer you to somebody else, all that kind of stuff. So there's a lot of fear. So I'm glad that you are taking the time to really ask those pertinent questions. Am I explaining this to you properly? Are you okay with this? What else do you need? What else do you need to know? You know, taking that extra time, that extra 5-10 minutes, with a patient can make all the difference in the world. My girlfriend had a diagnosis of cancer, and they called her and told her over the phone. And she said it lacked so much human decency. She said, I just felt like a piece of lunch meat. She said, I felt disrespected.
Mm-hmm.
And she said, I didn't even want to go back to that doctor to continue my treatment because I didn't feel that they cared. So I know that when they come and see you, nurse practitioner, Deborah Hardison, that they are going to be filled with love and that you are going to take care of them like you did for Dropsy. Please tell my brains how to get in contact with you if they want to consult with you about some life coaching or if they want to pick up a book, your great book, Dropsy.
My book is currently on Amazon. And I'm trying to think of
your website. I think we have your website on here too.
Yeah, the Dropsy the Squirrel.
Yes.
Mhm. Okay,
yeah, I have it at www.dropsythesquirrel.com. I went on it this morning. I love it. The illustrations are beautiful. Tell us a little bit about, before we conclude, tell us a little bit about your illustrator. She did an amazing job.
Oh, Donna Brooks. Fabulous, fabulous person and artist. She lives in Providence, Kentucky. We've been friends for probably 30 years. She's a wonderful friend and a wonderful artist and also loves nature.
Well, she did. She just really brought those pictures to life. I have a little squirrel in my backyard, and I'm trying to make friends with him. Mr. Magnificent took the nuts up. He said, oh, no, because she started digging in the flower bed. I guess they're looking for grubs or something. I don't know what it was, but I said, you know what? I got a guest on here that's telling me that I need to be pro-squirrel. He goes, okay. then do whatever you can, and you've done all that you can, and I appreciate you so much for being here on The Edge. Did you want to give our brains, can they contact you through Dropsy the Squirrel for coaching information as well, or do you have an email that you'd like for them to follow up with?
Right now, that's all I have is on the Dropsy the Squirrel website.
Okay, well, go there, brains, and I will keep you posted as to what's going on. I will keep you updated if there's any more additional information, if she comes up with an additional website or if she has an email that she wants to provide. We will definitely provide that for you here on The Edge. But right now we want her to focus on getting that certification and doctorate or degree. I don't even know what you call it, but we want her to be a nurse practitioner in the next 8 weeks. So we're sending you out love and abundant light, okay? Okay, Deborah.
Thank you so much, Ethel.
All right, brains. Do all that you can do to be a good person. You know, be blameless and shameless, and don't always try to be in control. Learn to trust and love and, you know, take care of nature. Right here on The Edge, we got all the information that you need. Raise those numbers. LinkedIn, Twitter, Instagram, Blog Talk, iTunes, Mixcloud, Spotify, all over the planet. That is where we are, wherever you are. Have a good day. Bye, brains.